Once we're packed up and standing outside our cave, our mood shifts to serious. It's as though for the last few days, sheltered by the rocks and the rain and Cato's preoccupation with Thresh, we were given a respite, a holiday of sorts. Now, although the day is sunny and warm, we both sense we're really back in the games. I hand Peeta my knife, since whatever weapons he once had are long gone, and he slips it into his belt. My last 7 arrows, of the 12 I sacrificed 3 in the explosion, 2 at the feast, rattle a bit loosely in the quiver. I can't afford to lose any more.
"He'll be hunting us by now," says Peeta. "Cato isn't one to wait for his prey to wander by."
"If he's wounded," I begin.
"It won't matter," Peeta breaks in. "If he can move, he's coming."
With all the rain, the stream has overrun its banks by several feet on either side. We stop there to replenish our water. I check the snares I set days ago and come up empty, not surprising with the weather. Besides, I haven't seen many animals or signs of them in this area. "If we want food, we better head back up to my old hunting grounds," I say.
"Your call. Just tell me what you need me to do," Peeta says.
"Keep an eye out," I say. "Stay on the rocks as much as possible. No sense in leaving him tracks to follow. And listen for both of us." It's clear at this point that the explosion destroyed the hearing in my left ear for good. I'd walk in the water to cover our tracks completely, but I'm not sure Peeta's leg could take the current. Although the drugs have erased the infection, he's still pretty weak. My forehead hurts along the knife cut, but after 3 days the bleeding has stopped. I wear a bandage around my head, though, just in case physical exertion should bring it back. As we head up alongside the stream, we pass the place where I found Peeta camouflaged in the weeds and mud. One good thing, between the downpour and the flooded banks, all signs of his hiding place have been wiped out. That means that, if need be, we can come back to our cave. Otherwise, I wouldn't risk it with Cato after us. The boulders diminish to rocks that eventually turn to pebbles, and then, to my relief, we're back on pine needles and the gentle incline of the forest floor. For the first time, I realize we have a problem. Navigating the rocky terrain with a bad leg, well, you're naturally going to make some noise. But even on the smooth bed of needles, Peeta is loud. And I mean loud, loud. As if he's stomping his feet or something. I turn and look at him.
"What?" he asks.
"You've got to move more quietly," I say. "Forget about Cato. You're chasing off every rabbit in a 10-mile radius."
"Really?" he says. "Sorry, I didn't know."
So we start up again, and he's a tiny bit better, but even with only one working ear, he's making me jump.
"Can you take your boots off?" I suggest.
"Here?" he asks in disbelief, as if I'd asked him to walk barefoot on hot coals or something. I have to remind myself that he's still not used to the woods, that it's the scary forbidden place beyond the fences of District 12. I think of Gale, with his velvet tread. It's eerie how little sound he makes, even when the leaves have fallen and it's a challenge to move at all without chasing off the game. I feel certain he's laughing back home.
"Yes,"
I say patiently. "I will too. That way we'll both be quieter." Like I was making any noise. So we both strip off our boots and socks, and while there's some improvement, I could swear he's making an effort to snap every branch we encounter.